Those are the words of David. It was a call to worship, sang for centuries. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. I remember the story. It was an old Navy story of a guy fell off a ship one day. It was at nighttime. That's the worst time you want to fall off a ship. Nobody can see you. And they searched for him all night. When the sun came up, they found him. And he had somehow found a rock protruding out of the water. And he wrapped himself around it and hung on all night, he said. They drug him back on the ship, and they said, man, what was that like being out there? He said, you know, that rock never moved one time. Everything else moved, but not that rock. And I hung on tight to it. So let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods, and in his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. And then come these words we just sang. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, for we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And then just a couple chapters over, he keeps going. Again, calling us to worship. Know the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. There's a lot of things around us right now changing every day. We need to focus on things that do not change. And this does not change. It's everlasting. Amen? And so we can come in that attitude and spirit today and hang on to the rock that does not move when everything else is spinning and moving. That rock will not move. Amen? Father, I thank you for being our rock, our fortress, a mighty help. Lord, we're going to hang on tightly to you because that's what you're wanting us to. In fact, I wonder if that's not what we're going to draw from these times, that we will learn to hold tighter. I know your grip is going to be constant and sure. And from your presence and grip, we draw great confidence. And that joy, which seems to be absent right now, but it is that joy, that delight in you that is not affected by pain or pleasure. Father, would you teach us to go deeper in that stream and drink from it like we've never drank from it before. Father, I pray that would be so in our lives. Thank you for those who gathered and those who later will be listening online. Father, we just pray you encourage the body of Christ wherever they might be. In Jesus' name, and all the saints said, be seated. Well, I was shaving this morning. This doesn't usually happen to me, but you're going to have to set your insert aside. We're going to use it next week, okay? Because while I was shaving, I felt like the Lord wanted us to maybe go in a different direction this morning. So be sensitive to that. Now, we're going to be taping in the second service because that's going to go out on the web so other people can see it and hear. So this is our warm-up session. To get us ready, praise God. We are still, I think, boy, the Lord knew in January when we started this series, Positioning Yourself for Kingdom Living. We didn't see this coming, did we? In fact, I was thinking this morning, just sitting in my vibrating chair, which Captain Tim gave me. I just think of him every day, thank him. It was his old vibrator. He got a new one, gave me his old one, which I'm very grateful for. But I was just sitting in there, I was thinking, wow, Lord, over 46 years ago, you brought us to Wichita, Kansas. I remember when we walked across the stage in the arena at the Salvation Army graduation and we gave the commissioner a salute and he opened up a book and he said, Lieutenant and Mrs. Voss, you're going to Wichita, Kansas. And we saluted and walked back to our seat and we looked at each other and said, where is Wichita, Kansas? Little did we know that'd be our destiny. That Wichita, Kansas would become a great oasis for us, a time of challenges, but also a time of great victories. And we began that journey thinking we knew. How many of you have figured it out yet? We don't know. But we take those steps in faith, right? I call it flashlight faith. We have just enough light to take a step. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I'd rather just get this whole thing lit up so I can see it. I want to see way down the road, Lord. That's kind of the guy I am. I'm a daytimer guy. I'm a planner. And Lord, I don't like this moment by moment stuff. But maybe that's God is doing some new stuff in us. And of course, October 2014, another step that we didn't see coming was to be attached to you. Wasn't in our plans. And we had other plans, and those plans got set aside. And because the plans of man come from the heart of man, but God directs our steps. Do you believe that? Amen. And so as we walk through this time together, the first thing I want to exhort you in is that we pray for leadership, the leadership of our country. 1 Timothy 2:1-3. And listen, I believe with all my heart, this is a time to lay aside political bias and pray for all who are in authority. Don't get online and go after people. This is a time to pray. And Paul told Timothy, it must have been pretty important, because he's training this young man and he wants him to know some things. Well, what's he going to tell him? Well, here's right out of the bat in this letter. He says, I urge you then, Timothy, first of all, wow, first of all? You mean it's a priority? First of all, that petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all goodness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Who wants to please God today? I'd like to please Him. It's my heart to please the Lord. I remember a couple weeks ago God spoke to me. I get pleasure out of the fact that you want to please me. It pleases me that you want to please me. And here, so here's one of the ways you can do that. Would you please pray for those in authorities? And here's some things I want you to know. Authority will make mistakes. I'm just glad I'm not the one having to make those decisions. How about you? It's been hard enough for me in my little sphere of influence. I can't imagine. Cannot imagine on the scales that these decisions are being made. I want you to know, it's easy to sit on the sidelines and criticize. You know, like you do at a football game, those refs, they made a bad call and you let them know it, don't you? Here's the reality, if you were in their place, you'd make some bad calls too. And probably we will. As much as I would like it to be so, I believe it's next to impossible to take politics out of politics. It's always going to be present. But in spite of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or a libertarian or you're nothing, you say, I'm manna. What is it? I'm just all those things. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. We are to pray for those in authority, no matter what party, that God will give them wisdom. I like what Donna told me in the office this week. She said there's no quarantine on kindness and patience. I think that's true. They can lock me up, but they can't take some things away from me, right? I mean, I can be cut off from the world, but there are some things that will remain constant. I have a piece of paper, and it'll be over on that pulpit over there. If you want to take a copy of this when you leave today, that'll be okay. But just some things I've written down. As followers of Christ, and I know some of you have struggled with this a little bit, we are committed to the principles of Romans 13:1-6. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And if you keep reading through the chapter, it gets even a little more sticky because he's telling us to pay taxes. I wish he said, but you don't have to pay taxes. It was our son growing up. We knew he was going to be an accountant someday because when he was real little, he'd buy stuff. He'd say, would you pay the taxes? I don't want to pay the taxes. I reminded him of that the other day. He said, Dad, I still feel just as strongly about that today. Just don't want to pay them taxes, all right? And sometimes we pay taxes to authorities that we don't agree with. But a lot of things I don't agree with, but I still pay my taxes. It's a principle. But we also realize there's a sacred tension on that scripture. You see, I mean, we have to obey no matter what they tell us to do. Well, we see this kind of lived out for us, an application in a biblical context, because all truth has tension. I don't care what it is. God's love, God's justice, right? God's mercy, and yet God's judgment. It's throughout Scripture. I can't find, whenever I read a truth that I really like, I say, okay, Lord, show me the tension on this. What is it? Well, in Acts 4 and Acts 5, we find Peter and John were arrested by the authorities for preaching the gospel. But because of the crowds, the fear of the crowds, which is always the case around the Easter story, that's what drove a lot of this. They were afraid of the crowds. They released them, but they gave them this order. So they called the apostles back and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John looked and replied to them. He said, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. So they left. They told them what they were going to do, didn't they? And he went out and he kept preaching and teaching and telling people. Well, they got arrested again. And they brought him back before the authorities. Hey, you guys, we gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with the teaching about them. And Peter and John and the apostles, they said, we must obey God rather than human authority or man. So yeah, that's fine. That's good. Well, let's take these two tension scriptures and make application, okay? First off, and we as leadership have met, we spent a lot of time in prayer. We recommit ourselves, we reaffirm that we must obey all government authority unless they're asking us to break the commandments of God or to be silent concerning our witness of Christ. And in light of that, is my opinion that Christians are not being singled out during this time like some would want you to believe. We are not being targeted by bans and orders by the government in this time of crisis. Now, if they said, now just churches can't meet, that'd be a whole nother story, okay? But that's not what's being said. We are not being ordered to stop speaking and teaching the name of Jesus. No one has said that. In fact, there may be a surprise in this for you. Because we may, just like our friends in China, one pastor said, I was ministering to a couple hundred people, and then we went online, and now it's 85,000. Who would have thunk it? Even though there's much fear and panic in what's happening in our country, and I acknowledge that it is, we believe most of the efforts that are being implemented are being done in a genuine spirit to protect our citizens, not to silence the church. Will the enemy take opportunity? Duh. It's his job. Of course he will. But know this. This situation did not catch God off guard. He can go, whoops, I didn't see that coming. Oh my goodness, where'd that come from? God knew about it before anybody ever knew about it. And he too will take opportunity with this crisis. Whether it's exaggerated or not, I don't care. I don't care about that. The kingdom's work is what's at stake. Amen? I have a picture I want Taylor to put up here because this is what I've felt over the last couple of weeks. So many choices, so many texts, so many emails, so many opinions from all sides. In all my years of ministry, I've never experienced anything like it. I thought I'd experienced everything, but this is something different. And opinions are strong. And we as leadership, I want you to know, as elders and leaders, along with thousands of other churches around the nation and even around the globe, and I've read letters from other pastors, believe me, I saw Tanzania had some cases today, and Claire was asking us to pray. I also got a letter from a Chinese pastor say, hey, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. And we are praying. We're prayerfully considering all the options before us, responding to this current virus with the COVID-19 virus. These viruses are nothing really new. We've had them for a long time. In fact, 102 years ago, we had the Spanish flu. Millions died. That was the last really big. But we've had coronaviruses a lot. But this one is a little different, and we're not immune to it, evidently, and are trying to figure out what to do, and I believe they will figure it out. I believe God will give knowledge and understanding, and it will become in our history books like everything else. Oh, remember that COVID-19 and 2020? We will remember it. In fact, I want to encourage you to keep a journal for history's sake. Write down what's going on. Write down your experiences, what's happening in your family. Let your family participate in it, because this will not be the last. And God is already, wanting to prepare us. We've looked at these doors. We've looked at legal issues. We've looked at civil responsibilities. We've looked at community witness. We've looked at financial concerns. A lot of pastors I've talked to, almost with tears in their eyes, are, what are we going to do? Now, Faith Community Church is blessed. We don't have a building payment. We're not in debt. So we can weather a lot of storms. And it's good. I also believe Faith Community Church, they'll throw this back in the enemy's face. Let me tell you, we won't miss a beat. I just know Faith Community Church. This will not hinder us in that way. And in fact, you'll just figure out other ways to do it, and God will take care of us. I believe He's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. We've looked at safety of our members, the preservation of our mission. We've looked at all these things. But we've selected one door. It's in the spirit of 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. It is the door of love. Love will be our motivator, not finances, not legalities. Although we are going to follow Romans 13, we're going to submit to authority. And now if they tell me you can't talk about Jesus, sorry. If they tell me, you know, you got to denounce your faith, not going to happen. If they just start closing churches and nothing else, I'm afraid I'll have to resist that. But what is happening right now may be an opportunity that we don't want to miss. As elders and shepherds, we are committed to love and protect the sheep that have been trusted to our care. Every decision we make is because we love you and care for you. I would want nothing to happen to you that would hurt you or harm you. So we are making decisions as leadership in looking at the entire body. And these decisions are made out of love for others. If it was just me, I'd probably make different decisions. It was just me. It was just a couple of us. We'd probably do things different. But we're thinking, because in this body we have great diversity, is that right? And we have weak, and we have strong, and we have everything in between. And God has sent people to us to minister to. And we're not alone. It's not just about me. So out of an abundance of love for one another, this is going to be our last Sunday gathering like this, with some modifications I'm going to share with you. We're making this decision for 3 weeks. And then we'll look at it again. This is not how we expected to spend Easter. But while I was praying this morning, I saw God shaking my hand like this. Let go, Joe. Let go. Let go. Because I hold too tightly to tradition and things, and I'm old, and I don't like change, and I sure don't like technology. We're going to do some things that are stretching me beyond the limits, and I'm going to be dependent on a lot of millennials to help me, let me tell you. We're going to review the situation on an ongoing basis. You'll have to stay in touch. Now, I realize some of you aren't online, so you're going to have to do something really old-fashioned. You're going to have to pick up a telephone and call us. Some of you will go on the webpage. Some of you will go on our Facebook page where we're going to be communicating that way. We're going to follow all government guidelines that have been implemented. And it's very possible soon, like other states, we will be quarantined. Probably will happen. But here's what we're going to do. We're just going to take you, again, stay plugged in, and you'll have to, because I can't tell you I can't drive my stakes deep. I'm going to keep my tent peg shallow. But first thing, the church is going to be open Tuesday through Friday like normal from 9 to 5 for prayer and counseling and the prayer room, unless we're quarantined. If we're quarantined, then the building will be closed down. I'm going to be taping a message every week, just like this one, for as long as this continues. And it'll be done in one of two ways. Either, and this we're going to, every Sunday at 10 a.m., the building will be open. You can come if you'd like. From 10 to 11, we're going to be here. We're going to pray. We'll have some communion available for you. And I'm going to preach a sermon, whether there's one person here or no people here. I'm going to preach a sermon. We're going to tape it. And we're going to send it out wherever you are. In fact, you know what I see in the spirit? I see, say, hey, go get your neighbors and have them come listen to your pastor. that'll be new. Hey, we're going to have new people next Sunday who would never come to the church but might come to your house and listen to something. There will be video and audio. So those of you, Mike McClard and others, you can have a CD, all right? I love Mike. I tricked Mike once in my truck. We were out visiting, and I know how he feels about technology and these phones and stuff, so I programmed my phone, and I, instead of putting Mike's name in there, I put my best friend. So we're driving down the road, and I said, Siri, call my best friend. She says, calling Mike McClard. I thought Mike was going to jump out of my truck. How does she know that? Well, she knows everything, Mike. You know that. She knows everything. So we will take care of all of you. You can either listen audio or video. And video is something new for me, but I'll give it a shot. Okay, it's not going to be high quality, let me tell you. It won't be like Channel 10, I can tell you that. But we will spend some time together. I think some of my sermons are going to have to change, but it'll be a time for us to stay connected. We're going to be sharing the word. We might even throw out a couple songs that we want you to listen to through the week and worship. Also, with the church being open from 10 to 1, it's during that time, like I said, I'll be taping unless we're quarantined. If we're quarantined, I'll be taping from my living room. I mean, we will not sit down. We will use every opportunity, and I bet God's going to stretch us. And he's already told me, Joe, you're going to have to lose your grip on some stuff. And that's hard, but I want to do that. I want to do that. You need to monitor our webpage, our Facebook for updates. If you can call Donna, you can call myself, you can get updates that way as well. Here's the reality. We're not canceling church. It's just going to look different. That's all it is. We're going to be meeting in homes, which I believe is a biblical concept. In fact, most of the world understands it. We just don't. We've gotten used to this. We're kind of spoiled in some ways. How many times have we said, oh, the church is more than just an hour a week? We're about to find out if you really believe that and if that's true or not, all right? Because God's wanting to teach me that, because I say it, because it sounds good, and I think it's kind of true. But by the end of this time, I'm going to know it's true, and so are you. I'm excited about what the Holy Spirit is going to teach us through this time. In fact, someone pointed out, I think it was Joanne sent me something this week, that the Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament while he was quarantined. The theory of gravity was discovered during a great plague. Did I say that right? I didn't say that right.
Gravity.
I like gravitivity better. I think that sounds good. How many of you? I think that sounds good.
See, you're already making up new words.
See, new things are happening. I'm telling you, stay tuned. It's going to happen. Good thing this one's not being taped. It is, okay. When we started the season of Lent, I didn't realize how much we'd be giving up. My son said one of his children had given up the internet. He told me, yes, TV and there. And he said, boy, is he regretting that right now. But he's going to stick with it. He's going to stick with it. One thing's for sure, I believe that we can safely come back. Something's going to be different about us. You know one thing's going to be different about us? You're going to appreciate getting together. You are. I think we've taken it for granted. I have. But I think we're going to have a whole new attitude, and we're going to love getting together and hugging each other's necks. I have a Catholic brother who I was talking to this week, and he was telling me, yeah, we've been given dispensation so that we don't have to go to church. It won't be counted against us or be a sin. And I said, oh, Protestants have been doing that for a long time. That's not a problem. And for some people, this won't be a big deal. If you only come once a month, you might not even know anything happened. I'm going to have a lot to say over the weeks ahead, so you'll want to stay tuned. But I want you to turn to a familiar scripture that we have looked at in the past, and it's Isaiah 43. As I was thinking about this scripture, I've read it, taught on it many times, but it took on a new meaning to me today. The Lord speaks to the prophet, to the children of Israel, because things are a-changing. And he tells them, after he went over all the stuff God's done, and we can look to our history, can't we? All the great history here in this place. And the Lord said to him, after reminding him all that, he said, now, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. That's when God said, I'm shaking your hand, Joe, so you can let go of stuff that makes you real comfortable. I want you to let go of that and trust me. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And we've talked about this before. The road is direction. The river is provision. God's going to do it, but he's going to do it in unexpected ways. We're going to walk roads that didn't exist before. We're going to drink from a river that is in a place you would never expect to find it, in a desert. And we would never probably go there unless God made us go. And so I wrote this morning. I said this to my wife over coffee. I said, honey, if we go through all this and the only thing we bring out of it is that we're safe and healthy, then we've missed something. If that's our only goal, is to be safe and healthy, then you will miss it. I'm not against being safe and healthy. I'm all in on that, right? I prayed for a brother. Yesterday I laid hands on him. Then I washed my hands afterwards. I'm not going to be foolish, but I'm going to pray. And I hope that you'll come out of this with more than just being safe and alive. Because you know what's at the basis of all fear? And I listened to a doctor who ministers to the homeless. And in Africa, I can't remember his last name. I would give it to you, but I'll send you the link. He was being interviewed on a radio program. He said, at the basis of all fear is the fear of death. And I had this thought. God is not going to deliver me from dying, probably, unless Jesus comes. I will probably die. In fact, blessed in the sight of God is the death of his children. I got all that. He's not delivering me from that, but he is delivering me from the fear of death. Because the fear of death will make people do strange things. And is that not our total focus? God says, I don't want that to be your total focus. He says, I'm going to do something fresh and new. And those of us who are older, that's hard because we don't like fresh and new. We like old and certain. We like predictability. That's me all the way. I want it. I want that. I want control. That message on surrender a couple weeks ago, I didn't know how apropos it would be for me. Joe, are you willing to trust me and let go of what you know and walk into some waters that you've never walked in before? And I want to encourage you to walk with me, would you? And let's find those roads and let's find those rivers. Now I want you to go to Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua has just received news that Moses is dead. Is that change? That's a big change. Moses, you are now not number two. You are number one. But God, I don't want to be number one. Well, you have to be, because times are changing. And things have happened outside of your control that you did not do. And you need to respond. And God begins to encourage him, and he gives him three things that I want you to write down. You got your insert, flip it over, new notes. He says to Joshua in verse 1, he says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. I used to be an associate pastor in Valley Center for a while, and I longed for those days. I didn't realize how nice that was, you know. Let somebody else make the decisions, and you get to... I always told them, go up to the mountain, Terry Hoggard. I said, go up to the mountain, Terry, get the tablets, come down, give them to me, and I'll take it from there. He goes, okay. I like that position, you know. Tell me what to do, and I'll do it. He says, it's changing, Josh. Joshua, you're going to lead the people now. You're going to take them into a new land, a place they've never been. And in verse 5, he says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Here it is, folks. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Amen. You got to hang on to that. Be strong and of good courage. I'm going to give you three things. First thing he's asking him to do is to believe. Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. I have made an oath and I will keep it. I need you to believe it. I want you to walk in this. I'm going to be with you. You're not going to do this alone, okay? I'm going to walk with you through this thing. I'm going to be present. And what I have promised, I want you to still believe. Don't lose faith, but believe. Then number two, only be strong and very courageous. Okay, now we're kicking it up a notch. Be strong and of good courage. Now, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to what? To do. During this time, I want you to do the do's. The do's have not changed. They may change in application. They may change in how we do it. But the do's are the do's. And we're going to do it. He says, I want you to be very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Listen, church, we're going to prosper in this time. I believe it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Some of you are finally going to do that because you're going to have time to do it. What was that little thing April sent me the other day? It was a letter from God. Now that your workload's decreased and now that your restaurants are closed and your movies are closed and went through this whole list, now maybe we can talk. I think it's true, right? Meditate day and night that you may be observed to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. So he wants them to believe, he wants them to do, and here's the third thing in verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then over in verse 13 it says, remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. So the third thing is rest. So believe, do the do's, and rest. One last scripture, Psalms 23. This scripture will take on new meaning to you in the weeks ahead, I believe. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Sound familiar? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to key this morning on this reality of sheep lying down. That's what he says, isn't it? You know that's not a natural thing for sheep. They don't like lying down. They'll stomp their feet. They'll get excited and run off a cliff. They'll do stupid stuff. I wish he'd have called us horses. He said, we're sheep, the sheep of his pasture. Could you pick another animal? No, it fits well. We are sheep. And he says, I am your shepherd. No matter what happens, I'm your shepherd, and I'm going to take care of you. That's what he's saying. I'm going to take care of you. There's going to be people. Let me tell you, yesterday, we wrestled with whether we should have our breakfast group at the egg crate. And we said, yeah, we felt like we should. We didn't know why, but we found out. We go to this restaurant, and there's, what, six of us. We gather around this table. We're probably the only ones in the restaurant. And this waitress comes to wait on us. Her name is Lori. Laura. I said, Laura, can we pray with you? I bet you're scared. She starts bawling. Buckets of tears falling on the table. I mean, it's like a puddle. She said, I am. And we prayed with her. And then we left her some money to help her. When we left, she tearfully said, goodbye. I said, oh, we'll be back. We'll be back. I'm glad we didn't stay home that day because God wanted us to minister, didn't he? Proverbs 3:24, when you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. Psalms 4:8, I will lay down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. In safety. See, I think sometimes our problem is we're so restless, and this, boy, it's going to be hard to lie down. It is. There's four things sheep need to lie down. They need to be free from friction. They need to be free from pests and bugs, free from thirst, and free from hunger. If they have those four things, they will lie down. I believe God's going to do that for us. Amen. And when everybody else is, you're going to be lying down. And let me tell you, people are going to notice that, and they're going to want to know why. Right. And you're going to be able to give an answer for the hope that's within you. God does not want us to be afraid. Are you getting the message? Okay. He doesn't want us to be afraid. You can be concerned. Two people can be doing the same thing and saying the same thing, and one is in faith and one is in fear. So don't go by just what the words or what somebody's doing. Because I've had people tell me, well, you're not operating in faith. You're operating in fear. Well, how do you know that? That's not true. So be kind to one another. Be compassionate. And know these are different times. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, I've been depressed about it. Just honest. But I got up the other morning, I said, Connie, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be great. And I got my joy back. You can lose your joy, just don't lose it very long. Get it back as soon as you can, all right? Faith is not foolishness. Wash your hands, people. Doctor, wash. I don't see Carlene here today. She's our resident doctor here, our physician. I met with her. She's been very helpful giving me information. She taught me something the other day, just practical. Use these two fingers when you open the door because you won't touch your face with them. Well, that's wisdom, isn't it? Yeah, just use your pinky. Because when you touch your face, you very seldom use those fingers. So, practical. Faith is not foolishness. Psalms 91. Man, I've been reading that a lot. How about you? Is that a good promise for us to read? Oh, my God. That's God's 911, let me tell you. When you're in trouble, call Psalms 91:1. But read the whole chapter because it's full of promises. But I think it's interesting to note something. When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, the devil used Psalms 91. He took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and he said, jump off of it. And then he quoted, because Psalms 91 says... What does it say? For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Why, God's even going to keep you from stubbing your toe. And what did Jesus say? Do not tempt the Lord your God. And what he's saying is, don't be foolish and call it faith. That's not faith. And don't have faith in faith. Have faith in God. God will take care of you, and I'm guaranteeing you, we're going to come through this. We will come through this, maybe sooner than you think, and we will be stronger, and then we'll be getting ready. This might be a warm-up for other things, and God's wanting to teach us some things, and he's wanting to teach us to lie down, to trust him, to have rest. Don't be foolish. Claim the promises of God. But you know, I wear my seatbelt. Does that mean I don't have faith? When I'm in a boat, I wear a life jacket and I can swim. Is that a lack of trust and faith? No. So please, don't be foolish. I think Psalms 91 and the scripture that Satan quoted to him, you can have as you go on your way. But you're not going to step out in front of a Mack truck and go, God will protect me. No, he'll greet you in heaven. So you really rush that along. But as you go on your way, you know, some churches pick up serpents. And many have died because of it. Foolishness. And they call it faith. No, it's not. So we're going to move in faith. I'm putting my trust in God. I'm going to be like Joshua. Because God's calling us to do something new and different. My prayer is, God, don't let me waste a bit of this. And let me see new things. And when I come back, I want to be a better pastor. And I hope you will be better, and you're going to have some stories to tell. In fact, during the time, however long it is, send me some of them. I'll even share them in the recordings. What's God doing? Maybe you'll have a waitress story. If we get locked down, gee, you might discover you have a wife or a husband. Have you met lately? Play games with your children. Redeem this thing. And you may discover roads in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen? Was it okay to change the message today? Is that all right? I'm just giving you what God's preparing me for. And I hope we can walk it together. Amen? So we're going to come to the table of the Lord this morning. It's a table of rest. It's a table of peace. Let me tell you, it is. It is. And our familiar scripture, which we all know, this is from the NLT. I like the way it says it. Don't worry about anything. Now, what's the difference between concern and worry? One word, fear. I can be concerned and not be afraid. I have money set aside for the future. We did have, yeah. We used to have. Yeah. But you can get Ford stock for $5 a share right now, I'm just telling you. Don't be like those politicians. No, never mind. Don't worry about anything. Instead, here's the exchange. We're not going to be afraid. We're going to pray about everything. Mm. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. And next week, we're going to talk about how to be a dispenser of peace. If you come at 10 o'clock, you want to sit and listen. It beats me preaching to an empty church. But I understand if you want to stay home, you can do that too. But we want to talk about 6 ways to dispense peace. And I'm telling you, you're going to have opportunity to do that in the weeks ahead that you never had before. Amen. God's going to give us peace. It's going to exceed anything we can understand. It's not going to make sense. And his peace is going to guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ. Amen? So here's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to serve you communion. And I'm going to wash my hands over there with the cleaner. And I'm going to take the matzah bread. And as you come, if you want to do this, I want you just to hold your hands like this. You'll feel like you're Catholic today. Hold your hands like this. And I'm going to take the matzah, I'm going to lay it in your hand. And then you're going to go get your cup, and you're going to drink it, And you're going to throw the cup in the trash can. Is that good?
Yes.
Diana, would you come? Because we want to prepare our hearts to do this. I think from now on, I'm just going to wait to do my sermon until I'm shaving. Because I'm shaving, I'm going, this stuff's going, I'm going, no, I got this. Yeah, still, that's for me, and yes, I want you to do that, but you do this first. First things first, remember? First things first. So this is first. So let's position ourselves for kingdom living. That's what we're going to do. And at this table, we're going to ask God to give us peace. Did you know peace is a gift? Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Well, I thought we had to muster it up somehow and talk ourselves into it. No, it's... Just open your hands. And when I give you that bread today, I'm giving you peace. I want you to take it that way. Would you take it that way? And just say, thank you for the peace you're giving me. Because you're probably going to need it more than you know in the days ahead. Amen. Father, prepare our hearts right now as we prepare to come and take this bread and take this cup. And Lord, help us to receive your peace today. We love you, Lord, and we love each other. Amen. Dr. Dave's dad is in Colorado. He's on life support. They took him off yesterday. He's still alive, breathing. Dave can't go and be with his dad. Can you imagine that? I remember being with my mom. It was the most holy time I ever had with her. I'll never trade it. Just being, I could imagine. No, you can't go in. Can't go in. I told Donna I'd probably get arrested. I don't know if anybody could keep me. I remember being with my mom the last night. And I said, Mom, remember when I was a little boy? And I'd be scared at night, afraid. Because we lived on a busy street in St. Louis, Big Bend Boulevard, lights flashing. JFK came by my bedroom window one day in a motorcade. I didn't know. Well, that was cool. But those lights would cast shadows in the room, and I'd be so afraid. And I'd go into my mom's bedroom. I said, Mom, I'm afraid. It's okay, son. You'll be all right. I said, No, I'm afraid. And I said, Mom, do you remember what you used to tell me to do? She said, I remember. I tell you to go get your pillow and come and lie down by my bed. And I remember last time I said, I already got it. Got my pillow and prepared. And I laid down on the floor and I felt at peace because I was near her. And I said to her that night, I said, Mom, are you afraid? She said, just a little. Just a little. I said, well, I got my pillow. And I laid the bed right next to hers and we laid together and held hands. I wouldn't trade that for nothing. But we trade places that night because I comforted her like she used to comfort me. And that's what Jesus is wanting to do for us. Bring your pillow, would you? And just lie down. Come on, sheep, lie down. That's what Jesus wanted the disciples to do in the boat when the storm was raging. Jesus was sleeping. And some of you are going to think that. Say, man, Jesus is sleeping and he doesn't even care that we're perishing. And Jesus woke up and said, why are you afraid? Oh, you of little faith. And thank goodness he calmed the storm, which we all like, and we all would like to do that. But really, they had another option. They could have just did what I did with my mom. They could have just laid down right next to him and rode out the storm. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. Father, I pray a prayer of protection over this body. I'm just the under shepherd. You're the shepherd. But I want to represent you well as we care for the sheep. We don't know what's waiting for us in the weeks ahead, but would you calm our hearts and focus our attention not on changing things, but on the unchangeable. And Lord, would you keep us open to the new thing? Lord, there's people like that waitress, Laura, who's going to need us desperately to give them peace and comfort. Lord, would you help us, Lord? Don't let us be hoarders, but let us be givers during this time, because you will take care of us. Lord, help us to be sensitive and aware of your presence, and that we would grow stronger. I believe there's people, Lord, that are going to be delivered during this time, and no one will touch them. They'll just receive it, because they're going to be so focused on you, and so much noise is going to be eliminated. And it's true, finally, we're going to be able to hear you, maybe like we've never heard you before. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your peace. We receive it as a gift today in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There is not going to be a fellowship time between services, but you don't have to rush off. And again, this is, you might see each other for a while, so take advantage of this. But no, next week we will be here at 10 o'clock. If you feel that God releases you to come, come, and we'll worship. We'll just spend time in prayer together. Amen. And pray that the messages will go out in ways like we never thought. God bless you. We love you. If you would like us to pray with you before you leave, we will be here to pray with you before the worship team comes in. God bless you. Thank you for coming.